Blog Talk Radio.
We now interrupt this legally questionable theme song in order to bring you belated Happy Father's Day greetings from the Matty P. Presents Saturday Morning Serial family to yours.
It also kind of reminded me that, hey, you know, if we're bringing up topics like cosplay, you know, or if we're bringing up even something as popular as Falling Skies.
On TNT, produced by Steven Spielberg. Tuesdays at 9:30.
My dad may not know about it. And so for that very reason, a lot of times we have to explain things a little bit more, even if it's briefly. Let's go ahead and just this is so. This is for you, Dad. Falling Skies is a show about a post-apocalyptic world where aliens have already taken over. Basically, it starts off season one, episode one, with a band of merry rebels out there rebel rousing, and they're trying to fight their impending annihilation. The series takes enormous twists and turns. Some lame, most of them awesome, and they bring mind control, mechanical ingenuity, rebels among rebels. They bring family dynamic, and then one of the things that I noticed today.
Does House make a diagnosis?
He doesn't need to. It's not that hard.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled fair use jingle, already in progress. We'll be right back. Mom, I can't find the sugar. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us here at Matty P. Presents Saturday Morning Serial. I am Grim Shea, and joining me, as always, is Marky. Say hi, Marky.
Hello, Grim.
Hey, Marky.
Yeah.
You want to name one of your favorite TV shows for me real quick?
Oh, well, just the top of my head, I think Falling Skies is one of them.
I thought so.
That was
the premiere's coming
question.
Up, and
yeah.
Boy, do you love Falling Skies.
It's a love-hate thing, probably.
What do you mean by that? Because I don't watch the show.
I know.
I am in apparently the small percentage of people I know who does not follow Falling Skies. And if you are with me, listeners, this is a show on TNT about to start its, I think it's its fourth season.
Fourth season
this Sunday on TNT at some time of day.
Actually, if you have the TNT app, it's actually already available. I don't know if this was in reaction to the premiere being leaked, but it is there.
Yeah, I heard that. It suffered the same fate as many very successful high-profile television shows. It was leaked ahead of time.
Yeah.
People on BitTorrent.
Yep, they'll do that.
Dark web or whatnot. I don't know how it all works myself, but...
Well, it's not even really the people that are on the BitTorrent. It's the people that put it on the BitTorrent, right? Mm. I mean, it's the reviewer or, you know, one of us basically put it out there. And
some jilted intern.
Yeah. And, you know, just to kind of get that out of the way, look, I am a fan. Whether I watch it on the app or if I'm going to wait on Sunday, you know, the Falling Skies people are going to get my viewership.
Yeah, and I bet they know that, too. I think that's a common thing. And they can claim it's leaked all they want, and they can claim that putting it out early on the TNT app is just response to that. But I don't see how it loses them a single fan.
Not at all.
It just creates some buzz, gets
right.
more people watching sooner. They still control it.
No harm here. Yeah, yes, we are going to get to see it a little bit sooner, maybe if we choose to. I'm actually going to choose to just go ahead and wait it out at this point. You know, it's just one more day. Let's just go ahead and do it. Let's just wait. And then also, I like the effect of, you know, I actually am one of the few that still enjoys a good commercial every once in a while.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I do not fast forward through them all the time. I will sometimes, but
you are a trooper.
I do. I just, you know, I got to. You have to pay your dues. You know what I mean? But Falling Skies.
Yeah, because I don't care that it leaked or that it's out early, because I actually don't watch the show. I've heard good things. I just haven't caught up. It seems like one of those things you got to watch from the beginning. And I know that you did.
And actually, I have something to admit. I probably am missing about half of the season three, I think. Yeah.
Brave admission.
I have done that in the past. Most recently, Arrow, I did that with. And then actually, even more recent than that, I did that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And there are times where I'll just kind of do this, where if a show has got something to it, you know, a lot of times I'll just stick it out. And then sometimes I'll step back and reapproach. What I did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was, you know, I mean, it's Joss Whedon's attached, it's superheroes are attached, it's Marvel, it's ABC, it's Stan Lee, everybody seems to be attached to this thing. Disney even, right? Everybody's attached. There's a lot of money. It looks beautiful. I found the first several shows to be very, you know, very tedious, very hard to watch. They were just, they just weren't going anywhere. And yet again, it had potential, and I like Coulson, I like the character. I like the actor who plays him. I thought the cast was fine.
Oh, it sounds like you're cutting them breaks. Like what you want a series to do is get traction right away.
Yeah. I wanted to
then
the
draw you along a little more later on, but
well, you know, I just think, I think a lot of times it takes a while for a show to really find its, you know, to really, find its footing. And, you know, I am the type that will give a show a chance. And I wish that more networks, you know, could understand that about the fans, is that a lot of times we will stick it out with you. We don't absolutely have to love every damn thing you put out, you know, but if the concept is good, if the concept is solid, and if the networks can stick with it, we will come back. And I did that with most recently Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm just starting to get caught up with Arrow. But Falling Skies was another one of those things that when it first came out, it was kind of wandering a little bit, you know, but Steven Spielberg is attached and it's got these amazing special effects and the cast is solid, you know,
Noah
Weil, Moon Bloodgood, Sarah Carter, one of my favorites. And it just, and it introduces a lot of other young, good actors. Just, I was hooked enough to stick with it. I watched the whole first season, and I remember when the second season had started, it was just, they were just piling up on the TiVo, you know, just piling up. And then, started to kind of go through it, started to watch them again. It was just kind of taking a little while. But again, it would have these awesome scenes and this awesome, you know, some plots were there, you know, things were getting good. Things were getting some juice, you know, it's
like if you're pitching this to me, you tell me how many episodes do I just kind of have to bite my cheek and wait through and survive on a couple good scenes until I get sucked into it. What give me an estimation. What makes it worth it?
Well, the thing is like I actually like the whole approach again, which is what I've done with these last couple of shows. Is Falling Skies a little bit different because I did watch a lot of the first part and I've seen all the last season, but I actually think you don't have to selectively pluck out shows right now. Mm-hmm. Just start at back up a few shows. Like maybe watch the last season and then start watching it now. I think you will catch up with what happened. You can enjoy this show right now. It's really, really good right now. They found their footing.
But you need some backstory, you're saying.
I don't even think you do.
Now, like, no one who liked Lost and who stuck with it
different
and maybe
deal.
Even did not like it would ever tell you, you just have to watch the last few, you'll
it's,
be good enough,
it's,
and
it's
you'll enjoy it.
It's not that kind of show. Yeah, no, like...
So, yeah, the way you describe it sounds more like Sons of Anarchy or something.
I don't watch
that if
show.
You just, what, like, you can pick it up at the beginning of a season or maybe a few episodes from the end of one season... And you can just follow the characters along for a while.
At the point where it is now, action and the drama of the moment. It is so good right now. You care so much about the characters, where they are right now in the series, that if you can just pick up from right now and go forward, you're going to be very, very, very happy. Okay. And maybe you can catch up later on and say, hey, I wonder, you know, why is he dating that girl now? Or why, you know, why is the daughter 6 months old and yet she's 12 years of age?
All right. Sounds like you're telling me that it's pretty accessible.
It's incredibly accessible.
Because I think it's a big thing in this day and age with people who want to watch a show that they hear about and it's already starting season four. They're worried, like, well, I don't have time to watch three seasons beforehand, so I can't watch this show.
I don't think you have to.
It just gets taken off. And there are some shows where you need to treat that way, but you're saying this isn't one of them.
No, I think you can hop into this show right now because all of the elements that got me interested in it and all the elements that have kept me tuning into it, even though it's sporadically, all the elements that attracted me to this show have, you know, they were like seeds that were planted, and it's finally fruited, mm-hmm. fruiting.
It's fruiting.
It's growing. Fruited.
It's blossoming.
It's blossomed.
There blossomed.
It has blossomed.
So you're saying, you know, I swing on over, I can catch it all in bloom.
In bloom, right now, in full bloom, you will appreciate this show right now.
Well, see, and I know that you're a huge fan of this, even though you admit already that you skipped, like, the first half of last season. Yeah. And you're even willing to hold out a couple days to watch the beginning, but I know you're a huge fan because I think you scheduled an entire day using your press pass at WonderCon recently.
Yeah, and actually,
just around the falling skies.
Yeah, we were at WonderCon a few months back, did have press access. Thank you to WonderCon people. And also thank you to the TNT people for inviting me here. We attended the press room for the TNT panel.
Well, tell me about what's the press room?
People
go to cons, you know, basically we go and we're cattle driven into a big giant hall. We hear presentations. Some of us, time allotted, might get questions in and a big giant presentation, but anybody can just go in and watch this. These press rooms, I'm guessing, are way different.
The press rooms are something that are, it's not meant for the masses. It's meant to basically, you have to kind of think of it like those of us that are in that room, we more represent the first ripple in a lake. So what they want to do is they want to drop a little bit of knowledge on us. And it's up to us to distribute it. And, you know, we act as the voice of the fan in that scenario. So when we get approved or we get issued press access to these particular rooms, and they're usually done after a panel, and then sometimes they're done just completely separately or instead of a panel. Actually, no, very, very rarely instead of a panel, but a lot of times it's before a panel. And a panel, for those of you who are new to the comic convention scene,
this is
where everybody
– cattle-driven.
Right.
Put hundreds of people in a hall. A dozen questions go out. You can kind of hear the answers.
There is – in that kind of environment, it's usually on a stage, and there's a moderator, and the moderator is – getting the conversation going with the panelist, and the panelist can be directors, writers, actors, actresses, whatever.
Usually a group of them.
It's usually a group of them, right.
To represent the entire.
Exactly. And so what happens is that the press rooms are kind of small, much, much smaller versions of this, and where the audience is all press member, and they have more direct access to the panelist, in this case, the actors or the actresses. And there are two formats. There's the press room style, conference style, where they're sitting at a table in front of the room, and there's everybody behind it, like a small auditorium.
Yeah, picture like NASA talking about the Mars landing.
Or imagine
like a press conference.
Exactly. Imagine the president just kills Bin Laden, and he comes out and he's talking to everybody. Okay. So there's that style. The other style, which I really prefer, is the round table. Roundtable interviews are it's the same, you know, relatively the same number of people are in the press room, but they're broken up into smaller groups in a round table, you know, sitting at a round table.
Well, at a number of them.
At a number of them, correct.
Because when you describe it to me and when I listen to the audio from it, I picture like kind of a speed dating with agents.
That is kind of what it is.
Yeah, you've got like a six-member panel. You break them up into one or two people, send them out to all these, you know, five or six, you know, tables with three or four reporters apiece.
Yeah.
And say, all right, 5 minutes.
That's
feeding frenzy. Go.
You just nailed it. The actual room setup, yeah, it's exactly that. There's these round tables. It is speed dating where the reporters or the press stay put. Mm-hmm. And then the talent or the panelist, whoever's getting interviewed, will rotate around.
The victim, I believe they call them. Yes.
The target, yeah, whatever. Yeah, they have
the gang interview victims.
Of all the panels that I attended at this year's WonderCon, by far the one that I was most excited about was Falling Skies, because it was the only one that I really attended that I knew a lot about. And again, even though I have cheated myself from probably around 5 to 8 episodes of Falling Skies, I think there's only been 40, or there's going to be 40. Even though I had cheated myself from watching some of these episodes, I do get the show.
Yeah.
You know, I've invested enough and I care enough and I get it. I get what Falling Skies is about.
And I can attest to that, people listening, yeah, because he is one of those friends who preaches it to me. And I don't mean to seem like I fight it very much. I just got a lot of shows on my plate.
I know. And I haven't got around to it,
I promise. But you know, he's like your friend who watched Breaking Bad and you haven't. He brings it up a lot, especially with this coming up. So this is why we're letting him vent all this out. But
But the great thing about Falling Skies is that you don't have the threat of spoiler. It's, you know, it's science fiction. It's, you know, it's very archetypical, you know.
That's true.
You know.
That episode in season 4 of Breaking Bad when they found the alien,
big spoiler.
But on Falling Skies, not a big deal.
So now
there's an alien.
So now there's two alien colonies?
There's like 7 or 8 different aliens.
What's the difference? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of freedom in loving a show like this. It's much more Saturday morning cereal. It's much more.
I like it. I like. All right, you finally got me. I promise it's going on my cue.
That is what this show is. You can sit there, eat a bowl of cereal, and enjoy it, and not get all freaking worried about it.
Well, I could see how excited you were because when you came back to me with the recorded audio from these roundtable things, which I think are typically done as sort of a press thing, where you get that one last chance to fire off a super important breaking news or trick the actress into revealing something she's not supposed to, and then you put it in your internet blog. But you came back with some stellar audio. I didn't even think you could get this.
I got the best seat and on the table because, remember, we all stay put. Mm-hmm. So the table that they're going to – the space that the star or the panelist is going to take doesn't move. So I was on the right. So I had the best spot. And, you know, I think a lot of times, too, all of you aspiring bloggers or hosts or writers, you got to speak up. You know, I don't want to always be the first one talking.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't think that, but I'm going to give you 2-3 seconds to say something.
I hate dead air. If you're in that position, jump on it.
Jump on it. Get on it. Get your question out there.
This really is like speed dating.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think we should actually play some of that.
I think we should get right now.
I love the I am there feel to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's
it
not
much choice.
It
makes me want to jump in and ask a question.
Well, I think we should start it off the way I started off with. Let's get Doug Jones right now.
Doug Jones. Wait. Doug Jones. The Doug Jones.
We actually just got through listening to his live interview on Matty P's Radio Happy Hour. Doug Jones was
friend of the show, Doug Jones.
We interviewed him last year. This is going to be the third time that Doug Jones has been on a Matty P Radio property. So we're really excited to have him. He is a dear friend of ours, and I'd say a personal friend of mine. I met him. I'll tell you more about it right after we listen.
Here we go.
Meanwhile,
I get the Doctor Who thing all the time with him calling skinny. And
we're here with Doug Jones.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, everybody.
So where does this character stand in your vast
resume of doing character.
As in favorites of mine, you mean? No, all the creatures I've ever played have been very near and dear to my heart. Well, they have to be somewhere in my heart, or I can't play them. I have to invite them in to, you know, to dine with me in my soul. Cochise has got the kind of attraction to me and me to him that I do with Abe Sapien from the Hellboy movies, because there's the intellect there, there's the calming influence on the team, because especially when you see season 4 in Falling Skies, you're going to see a lot of mayhem. The season opens up with a big bang of like, oh my gosh, what the F is happening, right? Everyone's gone a little cray-cray, except for Cochise. I'm still the calm, cool, collected alien guy who has all the answers and all the information. If you listen to me, everything's going to be fine. So there's that same kind of, that's what I loved about Abe on the Hellboy team. That's what I love about Cochise on the Second Mass team, is that I bring answers and I bring calm.
Well, there's been such a rift with, the Volm and the humans now, so is he trying to mend those fences? Is he trying to...
Well, I wouldn't say rift, really. As season 3 ended, it looked like, oh no, they've tricked us. They're going to put us in a concentration camp somewhere. But it wasn't about that. We were trying to protect the humans, as we've done on every other planet before. We go to the indigenous people or creatures there on that planet. We scoop them up for their own safety while we fight the bad guy, the Ishvenioth. We thought we were going to do that again here on Earth, but the humans have proven to be something above and beyond what we usually encounter. So that was discovered by the end of the episode when I finally convinced my father, also played by me, by the way.
So you are your old father.
I was.
On the eve of Easter.
Oh, my God. Well, talk about a schizophrenic day. That was, oh, my gosh. Playing my own dad in the season finale was just a lot of work. I had big scenes with myself. You know, I did the whole Patty Duke thing. But my father, Waschak Chob, is a bit more old school with our, this is the way we've done it, this is the way we're going to do it. But me, Cochise, has had time on Earth to intermingle and learn a lot about the humans and develop friendships with Noah's character, Tom Mason especially. So Cochise's job is to convince Dad that, hey, these people are different and something above and beyond what we're used to, so let's let them have their freedoms. And that's why we set them free at the end of the episode. But I said get out of town, because we got to blow some machinery up. And then season 4 is going to open up a few months later with it's going to be cray cray. And everyone's gone a little nuts. It's great. It's great.
How did they let you know you're going to play your own dad?
Oh, that was interesting. I read the script and saw my name in it as Waschak Chob. I'm like, hey, what? And then next day on set, we were finishing up the episode before it, and the producer Greg Beeman said, hey, aren't you excited you get to play your own dad? That's how I found out, was being excited that I got to play him. Nobody asked.
Didn't get paid for two roles.
But I did. Yeah, that's the conversation that followed. I'm happy to, if.
Can you talk about how long it's been?
Right. It's probably been, I didn't get an actual month count. Do we have a month count between season end of season 3 and the beginning of season 4? Like, how many months have passed? It feels like it's about 4 months, 5 months maybe.
A few months later.
Yeah. Not a full year, for sure. Because we left the Second Mass to scurry about the countryside and go discover a new land while we fight the Ishvenioth. So the season will open with, you'll see them in a beautiful sunny field. I think it's in one of the trailers you've seen already, that they're off walking in a beautiful sunny field in the grass with their shoes off, going, ah, freedom, ah, Earth, until, dun, 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 cray, cray. Yeah, it goes crazy.
Remain the same against the Fae, or are there other new forces?
Right. The Skitters are still present, and they're still under the command of the Ishveni. Those are the bad guys that will continue through line throughout the show. Those are our bad guys. And we have also, it's the human interest of the story that we have good guys, bad guys within the humans, and that's really where I feel the heart of the story lies. Even though I'm one of the aliens on the show, I think the show's really about these people and their relationships and how they buck up and how they deal with hard times and what is the human spirit capable of when they hit rock bottom? I think that's what the show is really about, and that's what's discovered more this season than ever before. Because I think as the season opens, you'll see everyone's put into captivity away from each other. So this entire cast you've gotten to know that interacts and intermingles with each other, they're all in different places when the show starts again. And you're like, oh my gosh, are they ever going to see each other again? And you find out what happens to a person when they're alone, isolated and going cray cray, you know.
You know, as you mentioned, your character and Tom have a pretty close relationship. But might we see your character interact with the others a little more? Maybe we might see some new relationships forge.
Yeah. There's still some cast members that I've never really had good scenes with. You know?
Right.
I'm more with the gang as a whole. That's really bad of me. I should have silenced my phone, shouldn't I have? I should have. You'll see relationships budding with everybody. This season, what I noticed about the overall arc of the show is that the relationships have been established in the first three seasons. This year, the science fiction comes to play way more. With our new David Icke being our new showrunner, head writer, he upped the science part. He upped the science in the fiction. so we have more unexplained things and that need explanation, and that's when I come in, because I'm the guy with all those explanation answers of the science part of the show.
Right.
So it kept me busy with memorizing really difficult dialogue. You know, every time I come on, it's like to say something smart guy-like, and I'm not a smart guy, so that's hard for me. Yeah.
I think you play it well.
Well, you're very kind.
What do you think the actual name of your character, what do you draw out of that name?
Out of my name?
Out of Coach Heath.
That
does have some historical, you know,
yes,
feeling in this.
Yeah. Well, remember, my full name in Volm language is Chitaki Ilsichnich Chatiko.
Right.
So I did not name myself Coach Heath. That was shortened. And it never was explained who gave me that name, but we all decided that would be Will Patton's character, Colonel Weaver, or Captain Weaver again, I guess. But he was probably the one who gave me that name as a kind of a, you know.
Yeah,
he's always leering at me through the side of his eyes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but he trusts me more and more. You'll see more trust build with him, with mm-hmm. Colonel Weaver this year, and me. But Cochise having some history and being a warrior and being a, my the Volm people have always been war. I was born on a ship in battle. That's all I've ever known. So finding some heroism and some reason and some sense of purpose in this horrible world of battle, I think is where Cochise is a poetic name to give me. Yeah.
Thank you so much
for having me.
So yeah, that was Doug Jones. How about that?
Ah, that was
Craig.
No, the incomparable Doug Jones. That guy has a real skill with interviews, I will say. After having interviewed him and listened to him in interviews.
And then this one. Yeah.
This one, it just seems to keep going. I bet as we speak right now, the poor man is doing an interview with someone else. But he's probably killing it.
Yeah, we had talked about that today, right after we heard his live interview, Maddie P. Radio's Happy mm-hmm. Hour. But why is it that a guy who, you know, he plays a character that's in the show maybe 5% of the time.
Uh-huh.
It's important. It's an important 5 minutes.
It's an important role.
It's an important,
yeah,
five,
you don't
it's
see
an
a
important
lot
5%. Mm-hmm. But he knows everything about it.
Yeah, the guy, he comes off like a fan as well
like
as...
Like a writer, right, of the show. Like a fan,
yeah.
He knows everything about it. And I was so impressed with that, because I'm like, the guy, you know, he joins in the third season, or the end of the second season, I think. Mm-hmm. He's barely on. You know, it kind of reminds me of there's a movie called Bullworth. Sean Astin.
Warren Beatty.
It's a Warren Beatty movie, and it's basically about a CNN crew or a C-SPAN crew that follows this senator.
Oh, yeah, the senator who has like a meltdown.
Exactly.
Slash political epiphany.
It's a beautiful movie. Yeah. It actually changed my political views. But anyway, there's this really funny bit where Sean Astin, you know, Samwise Gamgee.
Samwise Gamgee,
from Goonies, yeah.
Rudy.
Rudy, yeah. He plays a cameraman, and the whole movie, he's a cameraman. You know, he's holding a camera.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's seeing everything.
Yeah.
And finally, towards the end of the movie, somebody asks him what he thought, okay? And he just starts talking. He just goes off. And then they, like, cut away from him, and 10 minutes later, they cut back, and he's still talking. So moral of the story there is you don't ask the cameraman what he thinks, because he's been in the back keeping quiet the whole time. He's got a lot to say. He's been watching. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So Doug Jones is the man behind the mask. His voice isn't even heard a lot of the time.
That's true.
You ask him what you ask him what he thinks, he's going to tell you, to the death of everybody.
He doesn't talk about things he doesn't know.
No, he knows about them
when he knows something, and he obviously knows this show. He's obviously a real fan of the show, and maybe there's stuff he does where he's like, oh yeah, I don't know, I was in Nova Scotia for 6 days and they gave me this script, and I recorded with a guy wearing a green suit. I don't know, what was that called? I forget. He doesn't feel that way about Falling Skies.
I think it definitely proves that these actors, he for being the guy behind the mask, Andy Serkis for being like the, what do you call it,
the guy behind the green screen,
I forget what that is.
Yeah.
It is performance. Hearing Doug Jones talk about his character, we heard it again on the happy hour here a little while ago. He knows everything about this fictional character that is not in the show. He knows the backstory. He knows what motivates him. And whether
he can say his name.
He can say the...
He speaks like an alien language or something.
It's amazing.
Like the guy got hired to play a Klingon for one episode and he learned the whole language.
Well, and
awesome.
And I got a chance to sit with him, to meet him there at the WonderCon during this roundtable. And when he walked in the room, he's wearing like a – I think this is how he dresses. I don't think he was cosplaying here. But he came like – it was like a – and you guys can all see pictures on the website. I'm going to put all these pictures up.
Up on MattyPRadio.com.
MattyPRadio.com. And you can see that he's wearing this like a – it kind of looks like he's dressed like a steampunk, right? He's got like the shirt, like the pirate shirt collar. He's got this vest with like paisley and gold paisley on it. And it's not even that he's wearing this. His face, his whole structure, his whole body, and he's a contortionist. But the way that he walks, the way that he moves, the way that he stops and gets a picture taken, it's like you're watching Gumby moving. He's so animated in everything he does. He is such a performer.
He's body expressive.
He's incredible, which is why when he wears a mask, it's different than when I put on a mask. He's fantastic. And because we had the chance to interview him last year when we were substitute teaching the Maddie P Happy Hour, after the little round table, he gets up and he goes to the next one. And there's a couple of minutes there before everybody settles back down. And so I stand up. I didn't want to say anything on the table because I didn't want to overshadow any of the other guys that were there.
Yeah, don't be a dick, Mark.
I don't want to be a dick.
Yeah.
But after I kind of go up to him, I go, hey, Doug, this is Mark. We actually met last year.
This is your baby.
Yeah, I told him that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really weird. I introduced myself, and I qualified myself to him, and I was just like, hey, we actually met on the phone last year. I'm Mark with Maddie P. Ray. He goes, Maddie P., oh, my God, hey, cray-cray, he tells me. He goes, yeah, you guys were great. You asked some really, like, really interesting questions and stuff. And I think we got to kind of talk. We got him. I do remember our interview with him where we alluded to his prowess at contorting, which I may have been what he was referring. I'm not sure. But anyway, we did ask him some pretty, like, out there questions. It was a very good it was a interview. I forget what for exactly.
No, it was an interview for the ages is what it was for.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And so anyway, he acknowledges that he remembers me, which is really great. And then he hugs me. And
you got a big contortionist hug.
Yeah, and he did envelop. He totally enveloped.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. He's a big, tall man.
Yeah, and he's sweet. He's sweet. He's a beautiful person.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it right now. And a little side note here, Doug Jones has just recently been announced as the newest cast member for Nobility, the series. You guys have got to check this show out.
Oh, yeah. We talked to EJ De La Pena.
Yep.
We've already talked to a number of cast members.
Yep.
Of
Kaysen.
James Kaysen. Cass Anvar.
Anvar. And, yes, this has just been announced on this week's Maddie P. Radio's Happy Hour, is that Doug Jones has just been added to what I'm looking forward to. Graham, I'm sure you're looking forward to this. To Nobility, the series.
Oh, yeah, you're talking Nobility?
Nobility, the series.
Yeah, we've been talking Nobility for almost a year here. That has been they're still filming it. It's coming together. They just released a bunch of new cast names, which, and I'd like to say Doug Jones is the biggest, but quite honestly, no offense, Doug, he's not even the biggest that they announced.
No.
Walter Koenig. Chekhov.
Chekhov from Star Trek. From the original Star Trek.
Chekhov.
Chekhov is going to be on there. Along with some other great actors, we actually had the chance to do, I think it was our second Saturday morning serial show, was Nobility special.
Oh, yeah.
We covered it. We interviewed Cass.
It was early on. Cass Anvar. James Kaysen.
James Kaysen from
EJ
Heroes,
De La Pena,
and
the creator. He kind of blew my mind with what they had then, and they barely even had a promotional website.
They had
up at that point.
They had like a 30-second
They're
reel.
Really building up steam. They've actually they're busy filming right now. We were able to talk to them for about 12 minutes
today yeah,
to get just a couple of words on like a status update, and they are killing it. Hopefully we are going to see more about this. I know they are loading for a big Comic-Con announcement coming up, but I don't want to bring his parade out on my street. I think keep your ears open.
We're actually going to be able to, because on July 5th,
what?
Get this, Saturday Morning Serial is going to return with a Nobility Revisited special.
Oh, my God. They are having a parade on my street.
It's going to be, again, July 5th. We're going to be talking Nobility again. We are so excited about this. EJ De La Pena is going to show up. We're going to be able to talk to Cass again. And
James Kaysen, hopefully.
Is a maybe. For sure, we are going to get to talk to Chekhov.
No, that's Walter Koenig.
Walter Koenig
he's better not be teasing.
He's been made available, which is amazing. He's obviously a legend in the sci-fi world. So we're just so excited about that. So join us on July 5th. For that, I'm sure you'll be up.
Doug Jones is everywhere.
And
you know, see, I almost forgot what we were talking about there. But as I recall, at this point, we were just talking Doug Jones, who sat at a table right next to you for a few minutes.
Right.
Then got up, and you got to sit there, and you kept interviewing people from Falling Skies, right?
Yeah. So,
who sat down next?
Right, this one.
What big, ugly, lanky, tall, old man sat down next to you? After Doug Jones.
Would you believe that of all the people, and, you know, of all the cigar joints, or what's that line?
All the gin joints,
all the
and
gin
all the
joints,
world,
and all the
and
world,
all the cliches. Who it, walked in?
It's. I'm not kidding, guys. It was Sarah Carter.
Sarah
was the
Carter.
Next one. Sarah Carter has. You guys have seen. She is unforgettable.
Sarah Carter. Oh,
she's,
I know.
You,
oh.
I bet you. If you are.
Oh, I would love to sit next to her at a round
if
table.
If you are one of the cool kids, you watch Freaks and Geeks.
Of course.
You did not. And if, but if you are even cooler
cool
than Freaks
tell.
And Geeks, if you're cooler than Freaks and Geeks, then you watch a show called Undeclared.
Oh.
Which was the next try from that same group. They tried
the
to do
Judd Apatow.
The Judd Apatow show.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever saw her was on that show. She was in one episode, and I had a crush, total crush. And then she had a big part in Final Destination 2, and then she was in many episodes of Smallville, which you know I'm a big fan of that show. She played Clark's kind of crazy girlfriend kind of thing. But anyway, she's in Falling Skies. Loved the show. I loved her character in it. She was one of the things that did pull me back in when I had my moments of doubt and pain.
Oh,
you know, Sarah,
that says something.
Sarah,
that says something right
yeah,
there.
Sure. And again, it wasn't just my crush, but she was actually, you know, her character and the characters around her character really saved the show for me at that moment. So it was one of those things. Again, I really owe a lot of my Falling Skies fandom can be attributed to Sarah Carter, and here she is sitting right next to me, roundtable interview, Sarah Carter.
Meanwhile,
we're here with Ms. Carter.
Nice and early.
Yes, very early.
You just came to the best table in the whole place.
I didn't know you
got
to deliver on that.
Thanks.
So what can you tease us about next season?
Wait, who are you? I know, but...
Sarah Carter, playing Maggie on Falling Skies. And this is our fourth season that's about to air. So things are completely different and very exciting, and especially for Maggie. I think this is one of her wildest seasons. It is her wildest season. What can I tease you about? Well, I think you guys have probably heard, or maybe you haven't, but there's a love triangle, and it's not with Karen. Do you know about this?
No.
Okay, this is the first table that I was just officially given permission to tease about this, and I'm terrified for this story to come out. When it was written, I had a very strong reaction, and I think it's because I genuinely love working with Drew Roy and our relationship, the Hal and Maggie relationship, and we are still very much working together, but the relationship is now complex because his little brother's involved.
I had a feeling.
You had a feeling? I did not have a feeling. When
I
saw it on the page, I went, I'm doing what? What's going on? How do you justify this? Tears. David Icke, phone calls to David Icke. Like, David, I know, you know, this is an awesome idea, theory, and I trust you because you're a genius, but are you sure? Are you sure? But it is making for incredible drama, I have to admit. Yeah, okay, so now I'm the center of attention. This is payback. It is payback in a huge way.
Well,
for Hal, poor Hal. Oh my God. I think Maggie's got it harder though. It's heart-wrenching because she's entirely aware of what's going on. And there is a major piece that I cannot tell you, which is the reason for all of this. And that part of the storyline is phenomenal. I absolutely love playing that. I can't wait till Comic-Con when I can speak freely. So it's justified, but it's still hard. so hard.
Well, Connor Jessup, he has really taken over as like this super action hero badass.
Yes.
So he's kind of gaining that position where I think you already, where your character already was.
That's right.
So it just kind of makes sense that he kind of bumps that guy, you know, in a way.
He definitely likes that.
At least in status. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And off the top of the season, you know, Maggie and Hal are split up. So we both take leadership roles in our new little communities. And Hal's storyline is phenomenal. And I was excited about, you know, not being only in a romantic storyline, but actually taking a leadership role. And Tom empowers Maggie a lot in this season to be, you know, to be that voice of truth and reason. And I think when Ben sees me in that role, he falls in love, and he also wants to be around me a lot. And we know Maggie to stand in the back of the crowd, right? She's sort of like looking at everyone and assessing the situation, and then she'll take action. She doesn't say much, but she'll take action when she wants to make a political move, you know, in a way. She's a political character for sure. But now Tom is saying, you know, Maggie, what is up? And he's seeing that she can stand on her own 2 feet, and she can also affect change. So that's awesome to play.
You mentioned while there is not the love triangle aspect anymore with Karen, I was surprised to see Jesse Schramm's name on this press release here, because you seemed to finish her off pretty well last season.
Right?
Anything you can say about how might
she's
be?
In there?
Yeah.
Well, she's, I think she's forever going to be the reason for a lot of the things that happen on the show. She, I'm being careful. I'm always the worst with teasing, but she's the reason for everything in the next season, for everything, you know, separating and coming back together. And she has a lot to do with Scarlett Burns' character. Scarlett is phenomenal next season. She's such a great actress. I think that's probably the best thing about next season, Scarlett Burns. Great storylines for women, actually, in this upcoming season. Moon's character, Anne Glass, is a full-on warrior. And I think it takes the show to a whole other place to have all these women in leadership positions, and I was not expecting that. So kudos to the new writing team, fresh blood.
Do you feel like it needed the fourth season to take it to this point, or did you feel like this is something that was badly missing that should have been addressed earlier?
Which point?
In terms of the great season for the women on it.
Oh, maybe. You know, the show is about Tom Mason and his sons, and that's wonderful. That's sort of Spielberg's niche, and I have a lot of respect for that. And Noah Wiley is, you know, very much the lead this season. It is all about Tom Mason's arc, and he, you know, I guess is creating an umbrella for all of us. But, maybe it was our turn. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I think it took a while for women to. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I don't really think of the show in terms of, like, you know, why, when. It just is. It's so crazy next season. Everything is just what you don't expect.
The second actress, they use the word crazy, so now I'm very, very curious what that means.
Out of the realm of sanity.
To be technical about it.
Cool, thank you.
Pac-Man cereal got a new surprise. When you look inside, it's shocking. shocking pink. It's new Miss Pac-Man Marshmallow. She's got a shocking pink. Oh, oh. Just one taste, you'll be tickled pink with crispy corn puffs all gone in a blink. Gone in a blink. Love Miss Pac-Man Marshmallow. She's got a shocking pink. Oh, oh.
Miss Pac-Man's inside Pac-Man cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast. Yeah.
Pac-Man's more fun. Shocking pink.
Okay, so yeah, that was Sarah Carter. And what do you think?
I think you weren't lying about her voice.
I know. It's an incredible, gorgeous package. She is wonderful.
And I love that she was allowed to just give us a little bit.
I know.
About the show, and then she got so worried at the end about maybe she was giving away too much. I mean, I never get to go to these press things. Is that kind of the atmosphere? Like, are people afraid of you reporters?
Well, they're not all great. Some are very uncomfortable being there. She's also, and every time that I've like mentioned her, like, in the, Twitter sphere, you know, like, when I was at WonderCon, I think I had tweeted a picture that I had taken of her at that moment, and she was retweeting it, and she does that to a lot of fans and stuff. She's very accessible.
Oh.
You know, she's out there. She really wants to connect, and she really appreciates it, you know? And so, I found her to be just wonderful. She was fantastic. She was everything that I could hope for.
Dishing some teasers too.
Yeah, I know.
She did promise more would be coming at Comic-Con.
Yep.
Coming up here in the near future, which also falls after the premiere. So they got that going for them.
And using my insight, kind of harken back to a conversation that you and I had last year with Connor Jessup, with a co-star. And then just kind of seeing where the show was going, there was that little moment in the interview with Sarah Carter that you guys just heard where she alludes to getting involved with Connor Jessup's character. That's the brother of the boyfriend
she described it as suddenly a complex relationship,
exactly.
I think were her words, yeah.
And in that little moment in the interview where you hear a guy's voice saying, I knew it, or something like that, she goes, really? You really thought that? Well, that was me that said that, and at
all right, now you're just showing off.
And at
here.
That moment, she grabs my arm, like, no, you didn't know that, kind of thing.
Is that why your arm is so filthy right there, your forearm?
Yeah, well, it was awesome. Yeah, she, you know, and I'm not like a, ooh, girl, touch me, you know, like, but it was, I don't know.
Debatable.
It was, I guess I am kind of like that, yeah.
I'm a Saturday morning cereal eater, too. It's all right. There's no shame here.
Yeah. It was awesome. So, yeah, I had that little kind of moment, and, you know, wow, zap, you know, about that moment there. It was cool.
Oh,
it was pretty neat.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Then tell me, after she got up, your next speed date, that was probably something.
Well, you know, I thought that I was in for a letdown because I'm like, look, Doug Jones is a friend of mine.
That's right. That's right. Okay. You guys are buddies.
We're
you
buddies.
Play marbles.
We go way back.
Mm.
Sarah Carter, hands all over me.
Yep.
And she's gorgeous.
But you're on the clock. You can't anything. But still, it's good for the ego.
I'm going to stay put and see what the world brings me. The gods, the geek gods were shining on me that day because the next, blind date interview was with Moon Bloodgood.
Oh, and
Seychelle Gabrielle, and I hope I'm saying her name right.
You, double team,
yeah.
Moon Bloodgood and Seychelle Gabrielle.
Yes, and Moon Bloodgood, she was famously in Terminator Salvation, which I think is an incredibly underrated or underperforming movie. It was that. I love that Terminator movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I know you can't say it's underrated because you rate it so
crazy
high.
It's underrated by many people.
You can't hear the ratings of others, but
yes.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
That movie was fantastic. And she has a big role in that.
She was great.
And she's exotic, and she is an incredible smile, and she's, again, great actress. They exist in this world, and sometimes, sometimes they'll just come up and sit right next to you. So there's Moon Bloodgood was there, and then young actress.
But this was a double team, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So this was the first of that. Yeah,
had two actresses.
Exactly. And
that sounds
so. That's what you are about to. You guys are about to listen to Moon Bloodgood, young actress Seychelle Gabrielle. I only know her from Falling Skies, but that's awesome because her character again.
And My Dreams.
Her character. If you guys want to watch just one episode, watch Brazil. It's the season finale from season 3. Get an idea of what Seychelle's acting chops really can be. It'll blow your mind. But until then, listen to this.
Meanwhile.
Hello, how are you? Good to see you. Hello.
Hi.
I feel like I'm still waking up. What about you guys? Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
You know, I'm probably like 4 pounds, but I'm not going to give up my burgers. Thank you.
Never.
I'm happy.
So what is up with your baby?
Seriously, what is up with my beautiful woman baby?
baby.
I just named her. She's my woman baby. You are my woman baby. Well, you guys have seen the trailer, so I'm not giving anything away that she's older and quite attractive. Thank you.
And a princess.
Yes, like princess. We love her, by the way. She's also our homie. Right?
Yeah.
Like Scarlett is
awesome.
Wonderful.
Addition.
It was so weird because this year, our characters in particular are so different. Anne shows up. Well, the first opening, you see us, we're all together, and then we all get separated. And she goes off with
Lexi, Ben, and
Maggie. Sarah.
Random group.
I'm off with Oompo. Noah's by himself. He gets reunited with Weaver, Pope, and Drew.
They're in the same vicinity as.
They're like
them.
In a ghetto.
Yeah.
They are. They're like
literally
in a Warsaw ghetto.
Yeah.
It's like they're doing a lot of playback to like World War II, I feel
yeah.
like. Who else? Maxim is in a youth camp. That's spooky.
Yeah.
And everyone's, you know, wearing the same color and acting very strange.
Yeah. Led by a really cool actor.
Yeah.
Named Dakota Shelby.
So. Oh, Lexi. So then Lexi, I get reunited with her. They're together, and we just don't know where her allegiance is. We don't know. Is she good? Is she bad? She's changed so much. She also, her and I, we kind of go, I don't know what I can say. You can see I'm still, like, trying to figure out what we can give away. She is our focal point this year, and we don't know if she's good or she's bad. Anne is completely convinced that she's on our side and just being influenced by her alien side. And that's all I can tease, I think. Fuck. I didn't just say that. Will she have what?
Special ability?
Well, she's half alien, so and her hair is really white, so she's got
maybe
some kind of abilities.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Oh. Both your characters, I mean, we're picking up a few months later, but when we last saw both your characters, you both were kind of coming out of crises, you know, kidnapping, alien takeover. Will we kind of see the aftermath of both those experiences for your character?
Hell yeah. Lourdes is like, goes back to her religious kind of self, but in a much more extreme way. That's not so orthodox, you know, Catholic or whatever she, you know, started as, but it's more of like a worldly spirituality that's
a bit fanatical.
Very fanatical, I would say. And I think that is completely directly, as you know, a reaction to what happened to her. Yeah.
And you feel a strong loyalty to Lexi. And
yeah.
Lexi also knows that.
Yeah.
And maybe, we don't know, maybe exploits it. Maybe exploits all of our love for her, but then redeems herself. If
yeah.
I can be so broad, I'm sorry. But She's our superstar this year. But we are all so different. All of our characters, everyone, all the actors who normally work with certain actors were working with different actors. I wasn't always working with Seychelle. I was not always either with Scarlett. And once, nobody was working with the same actors. This is our most far-fetched year. Our sci-fi goes full force.
Ian and Tom are separated. Does that mean, like, where's their relationship kind of staying this season?
I can say that we're still together, and we even we have way more fights, and we definitely. I'm now a I'm a soldier. I'm no longer just a doctor. I'm a soldier. He is now relying on me for my input, and I'm not the same person he left behind. I'm also going to defend my daughter. So we go toe-to-toe a lot about the innocence of our daughter, because we just don't know how much of her is human. We also have an episode that Jonathan Frakes directed where you see what happened to Anne when she was back in the womb with Lexi and how involved Karen is. And you also get to see a part of Anne's past. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
No,
episode 6. Yeah.
Awesome. Does Tom not really accept Lexi?
Well, and he's also not bonded to her the way I am. So no, he doesn't completely accept her, and everybody questions where his alliance is as well. So there's a lot of pointing fingers and who's on whose side, and can he be objective because this is his daughter, and is he giving her special treatment that he wouldn't allow another character?
I seem to steer clear in the beginning, but I think Lourdes is become a little maybe obsessed with not being that person, that extremely violent and harmful influence on her community, and I think she's trying a little too hard to be the opposite of that, to be the enlightened, you know, peaceful girl. And we've all seen, you know, that religious person who kind of takes their crusade sometimes a little too seriously. But
I have a more meta question, and what does this show kind of mean to us, like in the human spirit way, and what does it mean to you guys playing these characters that are in the show? Doug Jones says that it's about the, you know, what happens with the human spirit when you're like trying to slam it down. You know,
sci-fi is always about, like, yes, we want to know all the bells and whistles that come with what the future, what could happen in the future, but it's always about human will. It's always about your humanity, and when you are in a situation where things are so vile and so despairing, will you rise to the occasion, or will you actually become primal and just fight for your bread and butter? Like, will you start killing other humans? Will you be reduced to something that's just more animalistic? And I think our show always tries to maintain that. Like, and Tom Mason is always that character that is always trying to corral us into being better and not falling back and becoming like the aliens. So this year, it's the same thing. There's human skitterization happening. They're starting to take humans and make them into skitters, and we are fighting that. We are fighting, the Ashmeni is still on our side, but we're fighting more aliens and still trying to maintain our humanity.
Yeah.
That is always our through line on our show.
Yeah. I think our sense of self, you know, it's so easy to just become a number or a thing that someone's made you into and that everyone can subsequently label you as, and to maintain like who you are and how you're unique from everyone is a challenge, I think, as a character and an actor.
Our show's definitely too, it's still moving. Like, we're talking about all of our character stuff, but there's still a billion things happening, and there's fighting every episode. There's always a lot of movement, so it's still exciting.
This is the last question.
Would you say that with the science element turned up, is the military aspect kind of toned down a little bit this season, or is that still ever present?
Always. I'm having such a brain fade.
It's not as like strategic now because we're all kind of just thrown out of a loop, so it's not like an organized thing. But those qualities are so instilled in our group.
Yeah.
That it's like you said, it's never. I don't think that's ever lost.
You've got the young kids that are fighting. You've got that camp they are also a threat to us. You've got the Asceni trying to help us, but kind of a little, in some ways, abandoning us. Not Cochise, but his...
The Volm.
The Volm. Yeah. Sorry. God, can't even keep track of the aliens. I mean, there's so many of them.
And there's more, yeah.
We've got episodes where we're trying to go out on our own and find out, like, recon missions that I get to go on, actually, and... so we're fighting, we're being attacked, and we actually end up being in this one area a lot of the time, which is, what do we call that area? It's Chinatown.
Chinatown. It's like a dilapidated.
Chinatown becomes our new Charleston.
Haven.
Yes. So visually you can see that that's a very different visual than Charleston. It's a lot of Chinese takeout. Okay, thank you guys.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Nice talking to you.
Man, but more than bikes, what Danny likes is you never Kellogg's pack. I'll keep him coming back for two scoops. The plump, juicy raisins in Kellogg's Raisin Bran. Ride as hard as he can, he leads the pack, but he's thinking back to those and Golden Flakes of Bran. He's turning back again for two scoops. The plump, juicy raisins in Kellogg's Raisin Bran. Part of this complete breakfast.
Well, I can tell that was early in the morning.
I know. It was early. I had a hotel room down the street. I was smart enough to see who in WonderCon is right by Disneyland. And I was just like, what's close and what's free parking? And I nailed it with my hotel.
Comic-Con Pro.
I know. And so I ended up waking up and I just walked over there. I sat down there, and there was like a little, donut shop thingy. And so, I brought like little, munchkin donuts and
donut holes,
which sounds really funny.
They all sound a little
especially,
like sexual
and
offenses.
And yeah, I actually brought them to people that were in the room, as I'm not going to be eating a donut in front of everybody, by myself. And yeah, so, you know, I'm
That's
here
also
saying,
why they invented them, so you don't have to bring
yes,
literally a dozen donuts.
It's a dozen you donuts, just... yeah. And so it's just like, you know, donut hole. And so anyway, yeah, the press ate that shit up. But yeah, they're, you know, Seychelles. I hope I'm saying her name right. Excuse me if I'm not. Moon Bloodgood, again. Are you not impressed with the seriousness that they take their craft, right? That they've studied these characters, and they can just speak so, you know, freely about it, you know.
Yeah, it comes off, like, I think it was Moon Bloodgood who was talking there. I get the same impression that I got from Doug Jones about, wow, she's yeah, in the show, but she watches it. She's a fan.
Right.
She's not talking about a gig that she has to do for a few months a year. Like, I mean, she knows it. And she was talking about other characters aside from her own. And as far as I know, actors and actresses don't usually do that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't become so enamored by their own projects.
Well,
a sincere level.
I think what I have learned over the last 3 years doing this was that the good actors, they do take it this seriously, and you can separate them, you know, like they don't just show up one day, you know, they do take it in. They understand the background because it informs their performance. So, you know, Doug Jones needs to know everything about this alien race so that when he puts on this mask, he can become it. Sarah Carter, same thing. You know, she takes on the attitude and the persona of her character, and she uses it at that table or at that, you know, at that opportunity. And she shows it to us in this little tiny, you know, in these brief moments.
Yep.
Again, Moon, same thing. Seychelles, and again, I don't know much about her outside of Falling Skies. I found that any time that she said, she didn't say much, but any time she did, it was right on. Mm-hmm. It was exactly what we needed to hear.
Yeah, and like I think she even corrected. She jumped in and corrected Moon Bloodgood
that one, yep,
on a
right,
whole spiel that where she was making total sense, and she said like the wrong alien's name.
Yep, and she just
and
knocked
Seychelles
it in.
Just no, you mean Vol?
Yeah, you mean Vol.
That was Vol.
Bullshit. Again, just thank you so much to the TNT people who made this happen, who brought us this great opportunity, who are bringing us this great show.
Oh, I tell you one thing. Those sons of bitches know drama.
Boom. That's like the new thing now.
Dung, dung, boom.
Oh, man. But we are not done with y'all yet. We're not done with Falling Skies yet. Because last year...
you called it, I think, when we talked to him. When it was before the season ended. Yeah. And I remember you telling me, no, I got us this guy to talk to. He's young, but he's like, he is going to be the breakout action star. He's the big banana coming out of this show soon. And his name is Connor Jessup.
Yeah.
And, well, time is now going to prove it, but I'm hearing a lot of buzz telling me that you were right. You kind of called it back then.
Yep.
I had to go back. I had to look this interview up again. I think we just used a couple little pieces of it with the Falling Skies show last year. And it's great. This kid actually sounds like a real actor. And the fact that I think we talked to him in Japan where he was living on a farm at the time just gives him, if nothing else, huge, I don't know, gives him real Sean Penn kind of cred.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like living on a farm like that.
I know, yeah. I mean, it was
you know, like I don't Brando know was... back in the day, kind of rebel, super humanitarian.
Out there like an Apocalypse Now, kind of just living
fuck
it.
The audience, but I'll do blockbusters. I like it. I really like it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see if maybe that's a good reason for me to watch the show.
Well, and you know, like going back to my original push-pull, love-hate with this show,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that the writers or the producers, either it was a long setup or didn't know what to do with Connor Jessup. But I think a lot of the problem, I think a couple of things happened that saved the show. One of them was when they introduced the Doug Jones character,
mm-hmm.
and the second is when they allowed Connor Jessup's character to be a badass. It needed this.
I remember you saying that last year. That was maybe the point when you started watching again in the third season. But that was
I could miss it, and then I need to watch it. There was a moment that switched, and I thank myself that I gave it enough chance. I didn't give up on it. You know, I kept my eye on it. And the first shows are fine. You guys are going to enjoy them. But it really takes off when Connor Jessup kicks ass. So we had a chance to sit with him last year.
Mm-hmm.
This was just after the season 3 finale, because I had not seen it at that time. But I think I had it on the TiVo. And it was like the night before or something. But we had the chance to interview him.
Grim Shea and Mark E.
In a very
long
early
distance
interview.
To Japan with Connor Jessup.
Meanwhile,
you know him from the hit sci-fi show on TNT, Falling Skies, where he plays the alien-infused super son Ben Mason. He is Connor Jessup. So thank you, Connor, for joining us again. I am Marquis, and again, this is Grim Shea. And Grim Shea, you had something that you wanted to ask him just kind of right off the bat, right?
Connor, I understand you're talking to us from Japan right now.
Yeah, I'm in, at the moment, I'm in Tokyo, but I've been living in just outside of Kyoto in Kansai region for the last couple months.
I think that's kind of what I wanted to know, and more to the point, why? What's going on?
nothing really. I love Japan. I love Japan with an unhealthy passion. And we shoot the season from September roughly till the new year. And this year was my first year out of school officially. So I decided to treat it like a gap year and do some traveling. So I've been traveling for most of the year since we wrapped on season 3, and the last 3 months of that traveling has been settling down a little bit here in Japan.
Oh, that sounds like a dream. I mean, as I came across doing research, a YouTube video of your co-star, who plays your brother, Drew Roy, I believe,
yes,
talking about working in a rice paddy with you.
Please talk about that.
I've never had a chance to ask anyone about this. What is that?
It is just as weird as aliens coming over and taking over the Earth. But so please explain this.
It is, but a little bit more comfortable. I have a friend who is an Austrian pianist who's been a brilliant Austrian pianist, and he's been playing and living in Japan for almost 50 years now, and he has a rice farm in this little tiny town that's about an hour northwest of Kyoto. So I managed to finagle myself an invite, so I've kind of been staying with him, and part of the deal for room and board is helping him on his assorted fields, some of which are rice paddies.
Oh my God!
Oh, what else does he have growing there?
Well, he's not really a farmer. He's still a pianist, so he's not as hardcore as some of the other guys. But he has some fairly extensive vegetable gardens, as well as five rice paddies. Not to mention a sufficiently large property that needs to be somewhat maintained.
So you basically fly off to the States once a year, you do the show Falling Skies, and then you're back to Japan. Has that been your life the last couple of years?
Not even. I'm from Canada. Uh-huh. So my
does the show film there?
And the show, luckily for me, the show also films there. I'm from Toronto, but the show films in Vancouver. So I don't even have to go to the States. I can avoid it altogether if I
lucky
so want.
You.
Blessing.
But I usually do end up there a few times a year.
Excellent, excellent. Falling Skies is the show that I believe that the Sci-Fi Channel wishes that they had. How did you get involved with that project? And I looked at your resume, and you were, I didn't see a lot of sci-fi there, and here you are on this, probably the most successful, sci-fi series on TV right now.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get involved with that project?
Well, I'm 19 now, but I've been working on the show since I was 15, so it's been a fairly hefty chunk of my life. And at that time, I was going to school, living in Toronto. I'd done, a series here, a few small things. It was nothing significant. And when you're in Toronto is a nice city, but for the acting business, it's fairly provincial. You get a lot of mediocre auditions. And this one came across for the pilot. And at the time, it wasn't called Falling Skies. It was called the Untitled Steven Spielberg Alien Invasion Pilot.
Sounds great,
which
by
is
the
a
way.
Mouthful,
that,
but
that
when, you're,
grab
when,
you.
When you're a 15-year-old actor in Toronto who grew up on movies like E.T. and Close Encounters and Indiana Jones and Jurassic Park and Jaws, anything with Steven Spielberg's name attached to it instantly has a sort of a shine. Mm-hmm. So that was, and I think most of my colleagues will say the same thing, that was the initial draw. Not to mention it was work, when you're an actor and you're just getting started, any work is good work, and I just got lucky enough that the work that I happened to get was work that I can also be proud of.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's a blessing. It really is.
We all live in the States now. We're all suffering here as far as work goes. I can say that watching, I am actually a fan of the show. I do watch the show. And
thank you.
One of the things that I have noticed, and you're going to love this part, is that I have noticed your particular evolution as a bona fide action star, and I think it's very impressive. Can you, and maybe working in the rice paddies has something to do with it, but can you walk us through the process physically and mentally as you transition into this, alien, hybrid, badass?
Sure, if you want. It's an awkward one.
Go ahead. That's good radio.
When I was a kid, I was extremely unathletic. I was not just normally unathletic. I was, I'm from Canada, and in Canada, hockey is sort of, religion.
Yeah.
And I tried to play hockey, and I was very bad. You know, I was that kid who, when he was on the soccer team in gym class, the other kids would tell him to stay back by the net and not touch the ball, because every time my foot touched it, it would go backwards.
You're really bad at that. Yes.
Yeah. So which is not, apparently, I've been told, not what's supposed to happen. I'm just setting the stage for my lack of grace and general physical ability. And so season one was fine. It coincided with that. I was a civilian.
I had
conversations with my parents and my brothers and stuff, and not much more than that. And so going into season two, it was a few weeks before we were about to go back to camera, and I just expected it would be more of the same. I hadn't heard anything to the contrary. I get a phone call from our producer, director, kind of all-around executive. He's a good man. And he said, but at this point, I don't really know him very well. And he says, so, Connor, how's your summer? Good, good, good. Well, you're going to be an action hero this year. Get buffed.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Wow.
And that was pretty much – I'm slightly exaggerating it, but that was about the extent of the phone call.
Wow.
And so I didn't really have any context for it. And it's hard. It's damn hard. I always thought it was, you know, easier than a look team, because the people who do it for a living make it look easy. It's like anybody,
absolutely,
it's like golfers.
Absolutely.
They make it look easy. And then you do it. And not only is it hard to do whatever stunt or piece of action you have to do, but to stay in character while you do it and have scenes while you do it. It's no joke. In the opening of season two, I have a scene where I jump out of a window and in one shot run and stab a skitter in the mouth, which was also my first action scene I'd ever done. And we had to do it over and over again because I kept holding onto the wire that was dropping me because I was afraid I was going to die.
Absolutely.
And the way the mechanism works, you drop, drop, drop at full speed, and then they only stop you about a few feet from the ground. So you feel like you're going to die.
Yeah.
So in the end, I couldn't stop. So they had to remove the wires and visual effects and paint a digital knife into my hands to make it look like I was holding a knife and not a wire. So any sort of aptitude I look like I might have is about 70% due
Steven
to computer programmers in visual effects.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as we're kind of going over this, I have this kind of vision of you getting that phone call from your producer, from your writer, from your director, and then you just basically renting every Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Chuck Norris movie you could possibly get your hands on to figure out how to do this. And you pull it off. I mean, even the way that you're handling the rifle and the way that you're kind of scoping people, and I'm pretending like I know what those words are, but you know, you really do pull it off, and I just it was really impressive feat. I have not seen the season finale yet. It's on the TiVo list, but I did want to talk about the last episode that I did see, and it was the one titled Strange Brew. I'm sure you're aware of that one, and this is what I heard is called a nutshell episode, which is a slight narrative departure from the larger story arc, and it's supposed to highlight or explore certain themes more closely. And in this case, I thought that the themes that episode explored were, you know, the lines of defiance in the face of fear, you know, paranoia, you know, you were going into Tom Mason's mind on that one. What other issues do you think that this show explores overall?
The show, the episode in particular, or the show?
No, the whole show, you know.
Yeah, there's a few. The one that I think is probably most salient, especially in this most recent season, is the idea, and it has different manifestations and different characters, is the question of how far are we willing to go? How much are we willing to give up? And this is an extreme example, but you know you encounter that all the time in your life when a goal shows itself to you or an end appears before you, and you have to ask yourself how far you're willing to go to achieve it. And for example, to make myself more clear, with Matt, my younger brother, who now is fighting, and, you know, he's very young still. He's barely a teenager, if that. He's fighting on the front lines. He has a rifle. He could theoretically die at any moment in a battle, as we all could.
As you all
could. So we've made the choice with him that his innocence and his childhood, it's worth perhaps sacrificing that in order to gain some sort of advantage. The same thing with my spikes. There's an episode where I decide to keep them and perhaps keep the health consequences that they'll bring in exchange for the powers that they bestow on me.
Right.
It's the same sort of idea. And I've always found that balance, that give or take, that personal versus greater good to be interesting. And we're trying to rebuild Charleston, trying to rebuild an image or mirage of what life was like before, seeing how out of balance the world really is.
One of the ways that I see that happening is when you're watching a scene and you're in Charleston and you're kind of looking around and the walls have like the sheetrock, and then all of a sudden there's like the painting of the signing of the Declaration of Independence is right there. And, you know, so you can see that this is a small group of people that are just trying to hang on to any piece of their past, you know, so much that, you know, they've actually taken the time to care for these, you know, incredible works of art in such, you know, in such a dire situation. You know, I would think, leave the paintings, grab your son and wife and get the heck out of there, you know, but it's a welcome relief on there. So I see where you're going with this. I wanted to kind of point out something else that I've noticed and again, remember, I am a fan of the show. One of the things that I notice is that, you know, let's just be honest here. Connor, you're a good-looking guy in what I predict to be the beginning of you are at the beginning, and this is a compliment of a very successful career. If you keep working in those rice paddies, you're going to be big time. And I think that you got the looks, the skills to build a very successful Hollywood career as a Hollywood star. But watching the show, and I'm looking at the collection of gorgeous women, and we're talking about Sarah Carter, Seychelles, and especially, you know, Jesse. How do you keep things strictly business on that set? I mean, girls are just—they are gorgeous. I mean,
it's sort of unfair, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Thankfully, everybody is very. Beyond being so sort of sickly good looking, everyone is also very intelligent and personable. And because, you know, when you're working with someone and you're all living in a different city, it, yes, matters whether or not they're good. But what actually matters to you is whether or not they're nice and interesting, because that's what is most directly affecting life. And they're all nice and interesting as well as being good. So, you know, they have a little bit more than just excessive good looks. And I know that doesn't really answer your question, but I'm gonna try and dodge your question.
I think you definitely should.
Yes, again, a great phrase.
The answer is, you know, it's actually a very bad idea.
That's
in any workplace, I'd imagine, but especially in TV, to do anything like that on a shoot, because if it's a movie, you work together for, you know, 4 weeks, 2 months, and then you part ways on TV. You work together for 6 months and then come back every year, and oftentimes have to, you know, there's lots of stories of people, and I know people personally who have been in, had little flings, and then it ended messily, and they had to keep pretending to either date or hate or interact with that person in some way, and it's always extremely awkward.
Well, that is deftly handled there, Connor. I have to hand it to you, because you are on the record of saying nothing more than it's a bad idea.
Let's move on.
Well played. Yeah, well played.
And can you give us a little bit of, I have one more very, very general question for you. You know, what can we expect? We know that season four has been picked up. We know that you're going to be heading back to Canada. And, you know, what have the writers told you? You know, what can you share with us and with our listeners as far as what to expect from Falling Skies here in season four?
Unfortunately, very little. At this point, with the exception of a few things, I know not much more than anybody who's seen the season three finale.
Not me. Not yet.
You know, you've gathered a few in terms of anything really. And we go back to camera for a month. By then, hopefully, I'll sit down or have a conversation with and they'll give us a rundown of general ideas.
Judging by what you've heard on the phone messages from your agent before, you have no idea what you're walking into.
That's what it sounds like, exactly.
Action hero last year, lover this year, who can say?
Yeah, maybe finally we see some action there on that.
All our writers are the guards, so I have even less of an idea of what to expect.
It seems like, you know, on the show, your older brother seems to get these story arcs that involved all the romance and things like that, and he seems to go through it quite often, and it seems to always get him in a lot of trouble. You know, can we expect something like that for you?
Well, I have a lot of laughs at Drew's expense because, or perhaps at my expense, because every guest star and background character on our show seems to fall for him almost instantly. Which, you know, is both a blessing and a curse and in terms of storyline. I don't know. I wouldn't mind a little romance. Who would? I would be crazy to say otherwise. But on the other hand, I'm perfectly content with the old bang, bang, shoot, shoot.
And you mean weapons, right? Like guns, in that case, right?
I added the shoot shoot in there as soon as I said that because I figured it might be a bit ambiguous.
Smart. In my humble opinion, and remember, I am a fan of the show. There are two things that took Falling Skies from good to great, and you guys are reaching great levels here. The first we covered, and I think it's your performance as an action star. You have blossomed, you have grown, and it's been fun to watch. The other one,
take a bow, Connor.
Please take a bow for that.
The people love it.
Wow,
people love it.
They quieted very quickly. So they have a good stage manager.
Yes, well, I gave them a look.
Yes, we did. We have a lot of power here in the States. The second, I feel, was the introduction of the Voln species and Cochise, who is played by a friend of the show, Doug Jones.
Doug is one of my favorite people in the world. The fact that we added Doug to our show makes me so happy. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person and the strangest, most hilarious person I've ever met.
Connor, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. You were many times when we're talking to you, you know, movie stars, TV stars, sometimes you get what you expect, and it's a relief when somebody is smart, articulate, and kind of ready to take on the world. We think you got it. We're looking forward to your career. Thank you for joining us again. This is Connor Jessup, star, action star, Falling Skies, TNT, coming back on season four. Connor, thank you for joining us again. We really appreciate it. Take care.
Bless you,
thank
Connor.
Thank you.
Have fun
and
on
if you
your
keep saying here. That action star part, it just might come true, and I'll believe it.
We'll see you in Die Hard 8, okay? Take care, Connor.
Thank you.
We're trying.
Bonjour, mon petit chou.
Bonjour, mon chéri. Le raisin bran du kilo.
Ah, le raisin bran. Merci.
Deux scoops de raisin sec.
Oui, deux scoops.
Kellogg's Raisin Bran. Two scoops of plump, juicy raisins in every package.
Magnifique.
We're going to be great in France.
Yeah, but what about Spain?
Kellogg's will help you say.
Dos Cubos. It's gonna be a great
day. How about that, Connor Jessup?
Connor Jessup.
Yeah, he's, like I said before, he's the next great thing. Keep your eye on that guy.
I am.
And, you know, having seen a little preview of the next season already, I have not seen the whole episode yet. I'm waiting on that. But I saw the first, I think, 5 minutes at WonderCon. He's going on a – his action, his persona, his presence is only going to get amped up. And what we heard from Sarah Carter, he's going to get a little –
he's going a little
growing.
A little action.
You know?
Looks like little Connor's going to be a big man.
Well, his brother in the series, Hal Mason, played by Drew Roy, he had – basically all the girls throughout the whole series. But I thought that Connor Jessup's character, who's Ben Mason, I thought he was a little bit more deserving. And so, you know, when Sarah Carter kind of brings up, when she alludes to that situation, what I was kind of referring to was that Connor Jessup's character, Ben Mason, he deserves the girl. He's the badass this whole time,
yeah.
You know. So I definitely had my favorite as far as the characters go,
mm-hmm.
not a comment on their performances, but just on the character arcs, I thought that Ben Mason was more deserving since he's badass, and Sarah Carter's character, Margaret, she's badass. And they should be together.
You think they should be together.
That's
I get it.
And that insight created the scenario where Sarah Carter touches my arm. Willingly.
Yep. It all eventually comes back to serve you personally.
I know. It's awesome to be me. Nice. So, so that all happened. This show, again, guys, I think it's finally found its footing. The first shows are good. I think it takes a while. They do a good job of setting it up, but and where it and if you can stick through it or just skip it entirely. Get to the good part. Start watching season 3. You will not be disappointed. And the show, it's everything that it promised. And I just love it. So get on it.
That's good that an ambitious show can find, steady funding, can go season to season. Having some Spielberg attached to it probably doesn't hurt. But and who knows, if Steven Spielberg had been a producer for Firefly, who knows what we'd all be talking about as fans nowadays. We might be talking about how sick we are of the show after 10 years.
You know what, and maybe it's not so much about that as much as it is about the network, you know, because mm-hmm. – this show on NBC would have been canceled in 3 episodes, I fear.
They would not have
had the patience, and, you know, I would have not have had the opportunity to come back, you know. Well, even though I was still kind of hanging with it then. But
and actually, see, now you're just making me feel ashamed, too, because I didn't give it a chance. I got 48 minutes or so into the 90-minute pilot, and I said, I'm getting kind of bored. I'll pick this up tomorrow, and I never did.
Yeah.
And you're telling me there's a reason to regret that now.
Yes.
A couple years down the line.
Absolutely.
You're convincing me.
And I'm going to speak for the whole Falling Skies family here and say this. No hard feelings, and you don't even have to revisit any of that. Just on Sunday night, start watching season 4. I've seen the first 5 minutes of it. There's enough backstory right there that you're going to care about every single person that you see on the screen.
And you know what?
Anyone that's not Green or Scaly.
They'll give you a 5-minute previously on.
Yeah.
As soon as you tune in to the season premiere where you kind of get enough. I don't want to shortchange the show. Again, I don't know enough about it to say that you can do that, but I'm hoping you can because that's my plan. You've convinced me.
Good.
I'm still on the fence about this whole American Horror Story thing, but you've talked me into Falling Skies, TNT. What night is that on?
Sunday nights.
Sunday nights.
This Sunday. Be there Sunday. The 22nd is going to be the season premiere. If you have the TNT app, you can go ahead and start watching that show right now.
which is a good thing because most people tend, if they like TV, they're watching HBO Sunday nights. So set your TiVos, check your apps, get on Hulu. I don't know for a fact that it's on there, but it seems like the kind of show that would be on Hulu. Failing all that, there's always BitTorrent.
We can talk about that, too. It's okay. A little programming note, Matty P's Radio Happy Hour has been really putting on some great shows lately. Get on the website. If you've missed a show, they're all up there somewhere. Go to MattyPRadio.com.
What's that address?
MattyPRadio.com. There are interviews there with R.J. Mitty from Breaking Bad. He just did one with Doug Jones. There's a interview, the one before that. Oh, he did a hilarious interview with Corey Feldman.
That was
a good one. The list goes on and on. You can basically get a hold of almost any interview that Matty P's Radio Happy Hour have done.
I'll tell you this about Matty P. You're one-stop shop for 10-minute Tia.
You got to listen.
You got to hear the 10-minute Tia interview.
Check out the very last show with Doug Jones. There's a 10-minute Tia interview.
With Chris D'Elia.
Chris D'Elia.
Stand-up comedian, star of Undateable and Whitney, and otherwise flabbergasted by our own 10-minute Tia.
This is hilarious. So please get on that. You will not regret it. And don't forget about us. We're on that same website, Matty P Radio Presents Saturday Morning Serial. You can catch episodes 1 through 10. This is our 11th one. And our next show is going to be about nobility. We're going to bring that back.
That's right. Talking again about nobility in the future. If you don't know what we're talking about, then you better tune in for that because, well, I guess it'll pretty much catch you up.
Yeah, and, you know, really, you don't want to be like Grimshay here and having to be told what you missed.
So, again, to recap, Sunday nights, TNT, Falling Skies, The Sky is Falling.
Take that, Chicken Little.
A little brick.
That's awesome.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Oh, this is enough of this.
In a world where a couple geeks grow up watching Saturday morning cartoons. And now they're adults, but they still want to talk about cartoons and movies and TV and comics and all kinds of geek stuff. And sometimes they talk to girls and drink rum and swear a lot.
Go crazy. Lose your freaking mind.
Hey, oh great. You mean lose my fucking mind.
Hell yeah, I do. Hey everybody, Grimshay here. Please join me and Mark E. Saturday mornings for Matty P. Presents Saturday Morning Serial, where we look back fondly and pay homage to those original happy hours as a kid. Saturday morning, up at 6 a.m., getting loaded with a bunch of cereal and just parking it in front of the TV. Tell them, Uncle Ruckus.
Why, folks, let me tell you something. There's no greater joy in life than to listen to that damn Grim and Barky. But do not listen to them if they're talking to a colored man. It will ruin your day.
Oh, damn it, Uncle Ruckus.
And don't forget, anytime you need that Saturday morning cereal fix, anytime, 24 hours a day, you head on over to MattyPRadio.com and click, 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 follow those links. We got them all up there anytime you want to hear them, which includes our most recent episode, our special WonderCon preview show. So if you're getting in that convention mode, come on over. Give us a listen. Anything you want to add, Marquis?
Oh, this is enough of this.
In a world where a couple geeks grow up watching Saturday morning cartoons. And now they're adults, but they still want to talk about cartoons and movies and TV and comics and all kinds of geek stuff. And sometimes they talk to girls and drink rum and swear a lot.
Go crazy. Lose your freaking mind.
Hey, oh great. You mean lose my fucking mind.
Hell yeah, I do. Hey everybody, Grimshay here. Please join me and Mark E. Saturday mornings for Matty P. Presents Saturday Morning Serial,
where we look back fondly and pay homage to those original happy hours as a kid. Saturday morning, up at 6 a.m., getting loaded with a bunch of cereal and just parking it in front of the TV. Tell them, Uncle Ruckus.
Why, folks, let me tell you something. There's no greater joy in life than to listen to that damn Grim and Barky. But do not listen to them if they're talking to a colored man. It will ruin your day.
Oh, damn it, Uncle Ruckus. Join us this week on Matty P. Presents Saturday Morning Serial as we celebrate the return of TNT's Falling Skies with roundtable discussions with stars Sarah Carter, Seychelle Gabrielle, Moon Bloodgood, and the incomparable Doug Jones, plus our exclusive interview with star Connor Jessup. So take that, Chicken Little. For details, check out MattyPRadio.com.